Good afternoon, everybody. This is Laura. We have a guest this week doing our podcast, and it's our med student, Corey, and he's going to speak about AFib. Welcome, Corey.
Great. Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everyone. I'm here. I'm a fourth-year medical student, and I'm here to talk about atrial fibrillation. So, what is atrial fibrillation? So, it's an irregular heart rhythm, an arrhythmia, and some of the pathophysiology of what happens in atrial fibrillation is that your atria beat very quickly and irregularly. So the atria are not able to actually send the blood down into the ventricles to pump out into your body. So what happens is that you're going to get a bunch of symptoms that relate to poor blood flow. And with all of these, the atria, originally, the electrical signals that are coming in causing this fibrillation in the atria kind of originate in the pulmonary veins. And so they travel through the atria, causing them to vibrate and not beat rhythmically as they should. And then they also travel through then the SA node, or through the AV node, actually. They travel through the AV node to the ventricles, and they cause the ventricles to also beat irregularly. So you kind of have two things happening here. You have this idea that your heart is beating really, really fast, and so your ventricles cannot fill with blood and actually pump out. And then you also have a loss of this atrial kick. So at the end of the contraction of the atria, you get a little extra squeeze of blood that squeezes blood into the ventricles. So you're two things kind of going on here that aren't allowing you to pump the blood out of your heart as you should be able to. And so some of the risk factors for AFib. So age is a risk factor. It's more common in women. Also anything that dilate the atria can cause this type of, can cause AFib, like heart failure or valvular diseases. Hyperthyroidism, binge drinking, that's something known as the holiday heart, and then increases in catecholamines for any reason, things like surgery, pain, infections, all those things can cause the heart to beat irregularly in this rhythm. So some of the symptoms, like I talked about, you're having poor blood flow, and so you're not perfusing some of the vital organs in your body as well as you should, and so one of them is going to be the brain, and so you might feel lightheaded or dizzy. The lungs, you also might feel short of breath, you might have fatigue, palpitation, these are all common presentations. And so one of the things that we mainly worry about in people with atrial fibrillation is this idea of emboli. So if the blood's not flowing through your heart, then your blood has the opportunity to stagnate and clot. And so one of the main places it does that is the left atrium, and specifically it's called the left atrial appendage. And so what happens is emboli can form in your left atria and then travel to other parts of your body, like your brain, your gut, your spleen, and cause bigger risks down the line. So we go about diagnosing AFib through three main methods. So the first one is EKG. So on an EKG, you're going to notice something called an irregular rhythm. And you're going to have no P waves on that EKG. And as you know, P waves are the atrial depolarization showing up. So it's that beautiful bump right before the QRS complex, and so you're going to have no bumps like that before your QRSs because the atria are not able to send a normal electrical signal. And so another form of diagnostics that we do is an echocardiogram, that's an ultrasound of the heart, and then a TSH level, because this is really common in hyperthyroidism, like I just said. So treatment-wise, the first thing that we do is we want to slow down the heart. So rate control is our number one goal. We can do that with beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, or digoxin. Those are a few of the common ones. And those are all going to give us the goal of slowing down the heart so we're able to fill the heart with more blood and have it beat regularly. Another one is rhythm control. So that's our second line. So we're gonna, you can do a cardioversion, either electrical or chemical. And one of the kind of rules, clinical rules that we have is that if you're under 48 hours, we go ahead and we can do a cardio version. If you're under 48 hours, meaning that we're not worried about clots being formed in the heart if you've only been in AFib for 48 hours. But if you're over 48 hours in AFib, we usually like to anticoagulate you for a few weeks, have you come back, and then we might consider in a cardioversion. You can also get a transesophageal echocardiogram to see thrombuses in the left atria. That's very sensitive. And you can do all of these things. And that is all I have for you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you, Corey. Hope you enjoyed it.